Guys, we got to shake it up. I feel like we've been agreeing way too much about what's been going on, and we're talking about the same positions every day. So I'm issuing a challenge. It's a Throwdown Thursday on the Podcast Daily with Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham, and me, Austin Ward. I want something that you feel like we won't agree with so that we can have some meaningful debate and not just be like, oh, man, well, I don't know. Josh Fryer is going to maybe play right tackle. Guess we'll see you on Saturday. Or Sonny Styles has to be on the field. Yeah, we all agree on that. Let's find something, okay, that we have to just get worked up about and spice it up. Put a little spice in the pepper. You know what I mean, Berm?
I do. I know exactly what you mean. And that's why I'm going to tell you that your opinion on Jeremiah Smith is wrong. Whatever it is, it's wrong. Whatever your
Bill,
opinion is.
Bill, we're overrunning. Bill, what did I say about Jeremiah Smith this week?
You said that he is going to win the Blitnikoff as a freshman, basically.
I did. I took the brakes off. I threw the wet blanket out into the trash. I'm fully on board. Berm, what are you talking to just me? I'm wrong?
You're wrong. No, Jeremiah Smith is going to have the second most receptions on the team in this season. And we're going to do, I mean, this is obviously, it's March. We don't need to do bold peas, but that
we you just did.
Yeah, and I'm okay with it. turns out I'm actually fine with it. We do need to do bold peas. Let's do bold peas.
We're going to do that on Friday. We're going to do some bold predictions for Student Appreciation Day because that's how deep in the weeds we are. And Bill's going to keep all the stats on Saturday.
That's right. Yeah.
Jeremiah Smith, something that I said was wrong. That's where we're going to begin.
No, I'm still sort of, what's the word I'm looking for, mad about the way you approached the conversation about him on Monday at Roosters, where you basically like, whoa, is he Randy Moss? I'm like, yes. The answer is yes, he is Randy Moss. So, that you know, he's the best receiver prospect in the last 20 years, and I think that we can, for once in a while, be like, hey, you know what? This isn't like... And this is not to knock Michael Jordan in 2016, but this isn't a situation where you look at a guy and you're like, well, someone has to play there. May as well be this guy. Like, this is a really different type of person slash player slash prospect. And I think that every once in a while, it's good to just like let loose of the handbrake and say, let's just go for this ride. And we're on the ride now. We're officially, everyone's hands and feet are inside the cart, and we are on the Jeremiah Smith ride.
I don't think the situation is all that different than Michael Jordan. Like, Carnell Tate is, the way I look at it, the only person that Jeremiah Smith has to pass to get into the starting lineup. That's not asking a lot.
He doesn't even have to pass him to get into the starting lineup. Well, that's the thing. He doesn't even have to pass him, because if Emeka Abuka plays in the slot, then he can just play in the starting lineup with Carnell Tate.
Okay. Yeah. I think Brandon Ennis is going to start in the. I think Brandon Ennis is going to start in the slot, and Emeka Abuka is going to move all over the field, and that puts Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith in the same spot. It's like, I'm not saying he can't pass Carnell Tate; he very well could, but I don't think that there's a world where like Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith are both starting. That maybe I will be wrong about that, but I don't think that that's a likely outcome.
You will be.
Oh, both of them are going to be starting. And Brandon Ennis is out of the group?
I'm saying that the flexibility of this wide receiver group allows you to have the Xavier Johnson slash whatever you want to call it position on the field at the same time. There will be times, even though you have Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, I think that there's a scenario, knowing what we've seen out of Chip Kelly in his past, where you could see Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, Emeka Abuka, and Jeremiah Smith on the field at the same time. And I can't wait.
Okay. Well, we're off and running. Bill, what do you got?
I don't know. I feel like I agree with that, so I don't know. I don't know that I'm operating in the spirit of the show here, because I think I find myself nodding in agreement with.
Pick a different topic.
I don't know, man. I feel like I don't have like I have like. This is pretty hot. This is pretty,
yeah.
Pretty
here hot. We go. Here we go.
I think this season is far too important to, what's the right way to say it? Sort of just like default to the expected at the quarterback position. What I'm trying to say is, like, if Julian Sain's the best quarterback on the roster, like, maybe we should entertain that notion a little more maybe than we are at the moment. And, like, I know the playing quarterback as a true freshman is really difficult. Not a lot of guys do it. But some guys have done it at a high level. Some guys have won national championships as true freshmen. I can name you one in recent memory, Trevor Lawrence.
I know. I could name you two and add Tua into that mix. So name me three.
Name you three? Why do I have to name you three? I don't know. My brain doesn't work that way. I can't name you three off the top of my head.
Just for devil's advocate.
Come on.
I just wanted to be a douche.
Congratulations. I'm not saying that, like, I think Julian Sain should be Ohio State's starting quarterback in the fall. I'm saying if he's showing you things this spring that catch your attention, that make you think that maybe he can play earlier than expected, then you shouldn't dismiss that just because you have some older guys on the roster, just because you went out and got a transfer. Like, this team needs its best quarterback playing, not its oldest, not its most experienced, its best. And I don't know who that is. I'm not saying it's definitely Julian Sain. It very well could be Will Howard, or it could be Devin Brown. There's a lot of football left to be played. But I would, if I'm Ohio State, like, I'm keeping an open mind on that. And if it gets to the point where even, like, you feel like you need to play the true freshman before you play anybody else, then I think you do it. Because, like I said, I think this team deserves to have the most talented guy on the field.
I didn't think that that was a take that could be argued with, but I'm getting myself to that point. The first part of what you said about how important this season is and that you can't leave any stone unturned, if Julian Sain proves it, like, obviously you can't question that. They are going to have enough evaluation. I think this season is so important that risking it on day one with a true freshman quarterback would be wild and probably too much of a throw of the dice to actually do. When Trevor Lawrence was coming along, they still didn't just start, Clemson didn't just start the year rolling him out there, right? I mean, it took into week five before Dabo made that choice. And if that happens, like, so be it. I guess there's enough time for Ohio State's schedule that they could ease into it. But I would just absolutely be stunned if, given everything that is wrapped up in this year for Ryan Day, that he could take that leap with a true freshman. Given everything else that's in position on this roster, like, it's not going to take a superhuman effort, I don't think, at quarterback for Ohio State to win games. And I think that there's probably a better than likely chance that this offense is geared around the running game and the quarterback run game, that Julian Sain's potential with his arm may not be worth taking that gamble. I didn't think we would have to consider that at this point, to be honest with you. And it says a lot about Julian Sain and his pedigree and the work he's done through six practices so far that it's even something that we could consider as an option. I don't think it will happen like that, mainly because of Will Howard, Devin Brown, and Lincoln Keenholz primarily. But the other part, like what you're saying, I can't disagree with. You have to do everything to win. But that feels like too much to me.
It would be a heck of a turn of events. I will admit that.
Do you think? I see Julian Sain much more in the mold of Tua Tagovailoa than I do see him in the mold of Trevor Lawrence, as far as what his role could be this year. Okay, so if you remember back in 2017, Tua's freshman year, like, it was splitting time, and it was like, well, giving him time throughout the year. Like, is there an argument to be made that you take a look at Julian Sain and Aaron Noland and you watch them very closely and say the best of those two is the backup this year? Because I think that Julian Sain is the most accurate passer on the team. And if you look at this lineup and you look at this roster, is the one thing that could slow them down from a quarterback position just a quarterback that doesn't put the ball where it needs to be? Because I think that's what it is. And I think that lines up with the biggest question marks about Devin Brown and Will Howard. Like, how accurate are they with the ball? And that is the strength of Julian Sain. And I really think that there's an argument to be made that Bill's correct and that you just let him go out there and be the quarterback. Because if he's the guy that's going to be the best distributor, no, obviously he's 6 foot and a half, 6 foot one, maybe. He's not the biggest guy. He's got a lot to learn. But as Austin said, you can lean on the running game and the defense. So this is the one year where you do have the opportunity to put a quarterback out there that maybe doesn't have to be, as Austin said, like the guy that you don't have to have great quarterback play all year long. But what you do need to have by the time you get into that playoff is a guy that can make every throw and put you in a position like Tua did against Georgia in 2017 to come in and just put the ball where one out of 50 quarterbacks in the, you know, can do it. And I think that there is an argument to be made there. So I'm on team Bill here. Point Bill.
Yeah.
Well, I think now we'll see on Saturday. We're going to get our first real glimpse of these guys. And this entire conversation could be moot. But I do think what we've all heard it in the last couple of weeks that the buzz around Saiyan and the way he throws the ball is different, and the receivers are responding to that. I've heard it from people directly. Like, they really like the way he throws the football. Now, does that mean he can run the offense? Does that mean he can pick up a blitz? Does that mean that he can identify coverages? I don't know those things, but he certainly did it well in California in high school, and he was the number one ranked quarterback in the country for a reason. You get a guy like that as a gift from Alabama, I think it would be folly to just abandon any thought of using him if he turns out to be good enough to play. Just to say someone's a freshman, like, I think we have to be past that at Ohio State now, right? Like, we have to be past that world of, well, this guy's a freshman, he can't play. Screw that. That, like, if he's the best player, he's got to play.
Yeah, that you probably said it better than I did there too, Berman. I think that's more of my mindset. It's not like, it's not pounding the table like to give him a QB1 job now because he's a 5-star guy. It's just that, like, if he shows you he's ready, and the only reason you don't play him, if he shows you he's ready and he shows you he's the best, and the only reason you don't embrace that is because he's a freshman, like, I think that would be wrong. I would understand it because you do have, you know, a pretty experienced quarterback and Will Howard on your roster, who's, like, certainly not a bad player. And even Devin Brown has, you know, some experience. But I would really, really question it if, like, the reason you arrive that anyone other than Julian Saiyan to be the starting quarterback is only because of youth. I think that would be the wrong way to go about it.
I think nothing that you guys have said is wrong, but there are reasons outside of, like, pure talent that true freshmen don't play, and that is physical development and the length of the season. For this one mm-hmm. particular, if Ohio State's going to accomplish its goals, like, there's physical development that is going to be absolutely required that Julian Saiyan, like, he can't help it, that's his age. And if Ohio State gets this information, or we see it on Saturday, and it's like, whoa, this is legit, this guy's for real, even more than we've heard, then suddenly Ohio State could find itself in a position with no veteran experienced quarterback on its roster at all. And in terms of building a national title contender, relying on a true freshman to stay healthy and navigate all of the ups and downs and adjustments that come with the speed of the game, going from high school to a national title contender is a significant leap at the most important position on the field. So, yes, unequivocal talent, what you guys are saying, you're not wrong. Building a roster in a quarterback depth chart to win 16 plus games is going to require a Will Howard, a Devin Brown, or a Lincoln Kienholz remaining on the roster. And this is a world where that's more difficult than ever to manage and juggle. So deciding on April 13th that you want Julian Saiyan to go, if this hypothetical path is followed, like, you're starting and you're in the spring game and this is the way it's going, April 15th suddenly looks a lot different for Ohio State from there. Again, maybe that's not a reason not to do it. I don't know. That wouldn't be my call. Certainly, I'm suggesting the safer route here, but experience counts for something and physical development counts for a lot. And what Chip Kelly intends to do on offense with Ryan Day certainly seems like it's going to lend more on the skill sets the other guys have. So it's hard for me to imagine that without saying that anything you guys, I'm not arguing with the points you made. I just don't think that's what's going to happen and probably can't happen for this team to win a national championship.
Yeah.
I think it's different because
go ahead, bro.
I like Kelly Bryant left Clemson right after he was pulled as the starter, right? So Trevor Lawrence, the difference between a Julian Sain and a Trevor Lawrence is what you just said, is that physical development. Trevor Lawrence is 6'6", 220 pounds as a freshman. Like, he's a different type of person. So that does matter. But you know, there is the concern about the transfer portal that now you just never had to think about before when it comes to this sort of, like, chaos.
Yeah, it is a two-way street, though, right? Like, and it's like, and we're talking pure hypothetical here, but, like, if it just keeps progressing throughout the spring that Julian Sain is clearly the team's best quarterback, and then, like, that shows itself in the spring game and everybody gets to see it, and it's not even if, like, Ryan Day anoints him the starter coming out of spring, because I don't think Ryan Day is going to anoint anybody the starter coming out of spring. But if, like, I don't know, Will Howard, Devin Brown, Lincoln Keenholz, like, all see it and be like, well, it's not here for me, I got to go somewhere else. Like, Ohio State can go get another backup quarterback. Like, I think they would have a reasonable chance of bringing in someone Tristan Jebbia-ish, I guess, to play the QB2 here. It's not an ideal situation, but I don't think they'd necessarily be screwed if that were the case. Like, I think, like, if quarterbacks around the country who probably aren't starters at the moment, but maybe have some experience, can play a little bit, look at Ohio State's roster and see that there's only one quarterback on the roster, like, that would be an enticing situation, I think, for those players. So I don't know. I think I would disagree with the assertion that, like, it can't happen for Ohio State to win a national championship. It would make it more difficult, no doubt, and really difficult to manage, but I don't think it's an impediment.
And there's the other side of that also that Bill just brought up. Like, if Julian Sain, again, this is a hypothetical situation, folks. We haven't watched them practice beyond, like, seeing how they stretch, and they all stretch real good.
Yeah, stretch real good. Yeah.
Beyond that, like, if Julian Sain knows that he's the best quarterback through spring football and spring game and isn't put in that position, then he can still leave. Like, that world exists now. So you can't be looking at it and saying, well, this guy's here, we can do whatever we want with him, we know he's locked in. Like, that world doesn't exist right now. So even though he's already used his one transfer, he has not, you know, the new world means guys can leave 17 times if they want. So I hope nobody wants to transfer 17 times. That seems like too many.
It is honestly absurd that the NCAA has put itself in this position where all of the rules that it wanted to put in place have been slapped down by temporary restraining orders. And so there are no rules. The NCAA can't enforce a single thing. I don't understand how that can possibly occur, but that's the world that we live in. Everyone's like, one transfer or this and that. Like, no, you can transfer as many times as you want. You can transfer tomorrow and then you can go to another school the day after that. It doesn't matter if you sign any paperwork or take money from a collective. Like, I'm so frustrated. I think, Berm, you've been here longer than I have, mainly because you deal with the recruiting side of it. But the sport is no longer in a spot where it's sustainable in any part. There have to be rules. And the NCAA is easy to blame, but they are the schools giving power and trying to agree on things together. If they don't collectively bargain and pay the players to put in contracts, the same way this doesn't happen in the NFL because you have professional contracts. If that doesn't happen for college sports, this can't continue. Like, that, if we have to have these conversations about the portal and, like, the middle of spring and Caden Proctor and Alabama and Iowa, like, it's nonsense and this can't continue.
But it's also a time to remind people that if you are someone with just an abundance of money falling out of your pocket and you want to walk up to Jeremiah Smith and give him a couple grand, feel free.
You can do
Austin,
that.
Now is the time. Do you have a spring? Is that what we're doing? We're throwing out spring takes. I don't know exactly what we're doing, but did you have something in mind when you brought this this game to our?
It's a throwdown Thursday.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. I just felt like we had got into a rut where we were talking about the same thing every day, and I wanted to not do that. And this is going to sound like the same thing that I talk about every day, but I've decided that I don't want to see CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles playing at the same time at linebacker. And I feel like I'm in a decided minority in that. I'd like, if they can both be on the field, I think that would be cool. I think CJ Hicks would probably be better served doing that at defensive end or a jack position if that was ever a real thing that was going to be installed at Ohio State. But I think this conversation about spring and 4-3 and cross-training CJ Hicks at will and Sam and Sonny doing the same thing is to the detriment of Jim Knowles' defensive scheme and system and the overall personnel that you guys have heard me say this before. I don't think Jordan Hancock should come off the field. And if he does, it should be for somebody else in the best defensive backs secondary group in the entire country. So if there was a world, Bill, you talked about this, could one of them play Mike and replace Cody Simon? I would entertain the notion. Maybe that could happen. I think Sonny Styles can do anything you ask him to do. But I think Sonny and Cody Simon give Ohio State their best chance to win at linebacker with Jordan Hancock at nickel. And I'd love to see CJ Hicks run the passer a lot more. But I'm currently skeptical of the plan to play more 4-3, given what that means for the back five or back seven as a whole.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, I think, actually. I take like any conversation about like schematic alignments in the spring with like a huge grain of salt, I guess. Like it's fun to theorize and like, I don't know, doodle some stuff up and think about what you could do with all the defensive talent that Ohio State has on hand. But like I think when the money's down, they're going to play their best players, and Jordan Hancock is one of them. So unless there's a way to configure it where is also on the field with those guys that we're talking about, I think I tend to agree with you. I guess the way that you get them all on the field is, I think, to your point, put CJ up closer to the line of scrimmage at times. But I don't think I'm not fearful of, which is why I don't give a ton of credence to the 4-3 talk, because I'm not fearful of like Jordan Hancock not playing as much as he needs to play. It would be a pretty big example of like, I don't know, misuse of talent if you don't have a guy who's, I don't know, what, your fourth best defender on the field all the time. So I think they will have him out there more often than not, if not all the time, when it matters most. But then that kind of opens up the box again of like, what do you do with all the other guys?
I think you got 6 weeks at the start of the season to play around with it, and you got a lot of time to figure that out.
I get that part too, and I mentioned that with the quarterbacks and the length of the season. Like, I'm not saying that CJ Hicks does not have a role to play for Ohio State, and maybe I'm even oversimplifying it to just be talking about the starting lineup when this team is probably going to play 22 guys on defense and have enough talented dudes to roll through 22 guys or more. I feel like that would be forcing a slightly smaller round peg into the round hole that Jim Knowles wants to execute here. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. If that's what they play, I think they'll probably still be the best defense in the country. And it doesn't make any sense for me to like spend all that much time thinking about it or bringing it up in this situation, probably because of that. But I don't think Ohio State needs to get into the habit of here is thinking that because they can play 22 guys that they need to come up with a plan and different packages to use all of them. At the end of the day, as you said, Bill, when the chips are down, you do need to know who your best 11 are and what the best 11 things they can do are and how that applies to winning a national championship. And removing some of the guesswork, I think, is part of coaching. Like, that's why depth charts have always existed. So I don't want CJ Hicks to spend all of his junior year and have all of that athleticism on the bench. I don't think that. I just think that he's better suited towards the line of scrimmage, and that Sonny Styles also can't be someone who's standing on the sideline. Now, I realize that creates another domino tipping over and like playing time for Jack Sawyer or JT Tuimoloau or Kenyatta Jackson or Caden Curry. I get that. And that is the hard part of what Ohio State is trying to maneuver here. But again, called it this over and over. Like, that's a luxury problem. But it doesn't mean that it's not one that they don't have to solve, because if they think they can just go into the season and be like, we've got a package and an answer for everything, I think you're setting yourself up for slightly less success, not failure, but maybe not unlocking the full potential of the defense.
One part of that conversation that we've not, I don't think, asked about, I don't think we asked about when we talked to Tim Walton, and we didn't ask when we talked to Jordan Hancock, I don't believe, is how much Jordan Hancock might play outside this year. So, like, if they do decide they want to play, they're going to play some 4-3, right? They've done that every year Jim Knowles has been here. If they want to play more 4-3, because, like, it gets to the point where, like, CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles would be a heck of a player. CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles are just showing you that, like, they're in the conversation for best 11 too. Maybe you can kick out Jordan Hancock to the outside in place of Davis Nigbinosun for a few snaps. Like, there's going to be some element of rotation here with this defense. I think there has to be if they're going to win a national championship. So it's not, I don't think they have to be, like, so stagnant that, like, those guys never come off the field, but it's always the conversation, like, on the biggest moments of the game, who are your 11? And they don't have to have the answer to that now. But I, like, to your point, I hope they don't get to the point where they're misidentifying who the 11 are because, I don't know, they feel like they have 16 and they want to try to find a way to play them all at the same time.
Yeah, or if you're trying to play them because you're trying to satisfy egos or anything like that. Like,
yeah,
play the dudes that work. But also make sure that you have CJ Hicks, Sonny Styles, and Arvel Reese on the field at the same time, just for me.
Oh, yeah, you got to get Arvel Reese in there, too.
That's true.
Okay.
What I want to see. And I believe that the guys that are first off the bus should always be on the field at the same time, just to for fun.
The head about
the Georgia defenses of the last few years.
You want Ryan Day to
play? Ah, damn it. He's coming. Why not?
It's Quinn Temple time, baby. He's coming off the bus, and he's starting at middle linebacker.
He doesn't have the size or the range for it.
I know. The man's lost too much weight.
Yeah.
Which, here's what I, you know,
Bill stumbled on another thing.
You have so many guys.
What?
Ryan Day playing football?
No.
Ryan Day playing?
If you're moving Jordan Hancock outside, that creates another issue because I think Jermaine Matthews is going to be the second cornerback on this team.
Oh. That's interesting. I don't think I'd jump on that bus with you at the moment, but I don't think it's an irrational thought.
That's fair. Yeah. That's the best I can hope for.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of people who would jump on that bus with you, though. People love themselves some Jermaine Matthews.
He's a recent Silver Bullet of the Day winner, which That's is right. one of the most coveted awards you can win. Berm, you had something that I interrupted that you want to wrap us up with.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, when you have this many players that can all do so many things, it can be really enticing, I would imagine, as a defensive coordinator to try to think of ways to play chess while your opponent's playing checkers. And that's fine, but you're playing football. So, like, go out there and put the best 11 out there and then let the other guys figure it out. If you aren't good enough to be in that top 11, get better. And if you can't get good enough to be in that top 11, the transfer portal exists, and that's the world we live in now. Like, this is a major transformation for me because I'm very deep in my feelings. Like, I believe wholeheartedly that, like, culture matters a lot, but, like, we are not in that world anymore, and you cannot try to satisfy egos and play, well, we got to play 18 guys because if we don't, these guys might leave. Sorry. Like, okay, then leave. Like, Ohio State is going to replace you, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it's going to be. So this is the world we're in now. Cry about it. Cope.
Go play checkers. That's a Thursday throwdown. We're going to do that on the checkers board later in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We're going to hear from some players. I don't know who they are yet, but we'll figure that out, and we'll have some snap judgments afterwards. And then we're building towards, of course, Saturday's Student Appreciation Day scrimmage, where we will finally get to, I think that's why we've got into this rut a little bit, is we haven't seen them actually do anything in 2.5 weeks. And we'll get a bunch of new information.
They're very good judges.
Some observations on Saturday, which we cannot wait for that. We'll predict what we think we're going to see on the podcast daily, Freaky Friday. But until then, thanks for joining us on the Thursday edition. For Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham, I am Austin Ward. We will see y'all later.